Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horror Show. Show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on?
Nothing. I thought Shredder was going to be better.
Bro, Shredder fucking rocks.
Oh my God.
Shredder, what? Fucking. Dude, unironically. I feel that way. Shredder fucking rocks. Dude, it's like a sleepaway camp on a mountain.
And shot on video. Listen, I think the premise is great. By the way, this is like the hottest we've ever started. Like literally like mid-episode fucking pace right now.
And I'm going to interrupt fucking 90 minutes before.
I know. I'm going to interrupt it though to go backwards. But I do think the idea of Shredder, I think we need another one of these. Somebody needs to just remake it, actually.
Shredder is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
It's fucking insane to say.
Shredder is fucking hilarious.
So if you didn't know, everyone, we're doing Shredder from 2001, although I think it was released in 2003.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Because I thought it was
the misinformation is great.
And that's recent history, so it's not like we're watching something from 1961 where they're like, oh, maybe it was 1963. Nobody could tell. I feel like people would know what year it came out, because you go to one site that says 2003, the other one says 2001. So one of those,
fucking,
right?
Just ask Steve from fucking Full House, man. What year did you fucking make this? He probably doesn't know.
I'm so mad that I didn't watch this before that 90s con that was in Connecticut that we got the press passes to, because he was there.
Oh.
Our guy Bimmy was very excited to meet him.
Yo, Bimmy might make for a great like Patreon video episode. Like, not his inclusion. He won't know that he's on the Patreon episode, nor will anyone tell him, but we will just kind of expose some of that information. It's just too good. It's guys, this guy Bimmy, we don't know him. We know him very loosely. I think Joe's met him once. I don't know him at all, actually. I only know him through his online presence, which is wild. It's fucking wild. I would fucking pay for that shit. If he monetized his Facebook page, I would pay. I would pay in a fucking heartbeat. I even tried to add him and I got blocked. I want to just say a couple things. So we had a live show last week.
Yes.
So fucking good.
It's great.
Was
great
that out? I mean, I've heard mixed reviews of it, but like generally it's like that was the best live show we've had. I felt it was the best live show we've done. But some people were like, that movie was the absolute worst. Not saying anything about the live show, but just like, that movie was so bad. And the movie we did was Amityville Thanksgiving. which was one of the craziest things we've ever watched for the show, right?
I mean, like, that was really fun. It's not good. If I watched it by myself, I'd be fucking miserable. But
right.
It was fun for the life.
Well, you said a listener, what's her name? Amanda? Give her a shout out.
She's Amy been around Amanda forever. Smith.
Yeah, Amy Amanda Smith. Yep. She's amazing. She's a great listener. She had told you that the movie was boring, which it's not. It's terrible. I mean, boring is the last insult I would give this movie.
I agree.
Wait, actually.
I agree in the live show setting. If you watch this without breaking it up and talking, I mean, come on, dude. That last 45 minutes, we talked over because it was so fucking boring. So I'm with Amy.
I do take it back, actually, because I forgot. Because the first 45 minutes is just straight fucking fire. Like, on fire. The funniest shit you've ever seen in your fucking life. The most insane.
Except for Shredder.
Joe and Sean's two favorite comedies, Shredder and Amityville Thanksgiving. Neither is a comedy, but they both really rank it higher. No, but it was, dude, that first 45 minutes is unreal, man. That first 45 minutes is crazy. The fucking sex counselor, it's so odd. But you're right. And then I thought about the last 45 minutes, and that was literally just monologues by people. Monologues by untrained actors.
Untrained actors and characters that were not in the movie until that moment that they started talking.
Okay, I take it all back. Amy, you're right. You're right. That is a fucking boring movie. But but still, my first insult would be it's just fucking terrible. It's just awful. Like, it's one of the worst movies you'll ever see. But it was fucking fun, man. That was a fun live show. I don't care what anyone says. I had so much fun. People were like, people were saying, like, they didn't give consent and shit for it. Like, they were like, I feel like this is abuse. Like, but I thought it was fucking great. I thought it was fucking so good. I had so much fun.
Yeah, and the chat was popping.
Yeah. And speaking of chat, we're going to be switching platforms for live shows. Thankfully, we're going to StreamYard, which we actually use anyway. And if you were ever a part of like the old live shows where we actually did the show on them, it's going to have a little bit of, we're going back a little bit like that. We're going to be able, you guys are real time. There's no lag. I don't know if you guys even noticed, but we're like a minute behind, or we're a minute ahead of you guys usually. So no lag. We see your chat. We can throw your comments up on the screen while we're watching it. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. That said, there's no December live show. So. the weeks seem like it's like so crammed up this December. It feels like my only free weekend was like this coming next weekend, the 10th. And it's like that's way too early. Like, we just did a fucking live show.
I'll put it out there. If you want to do an impromptu one, like a random one, if you just like message me and you're like, we'll do it on the run. I don't care if like five people show up, just put it out there. Live show tonight, I'll do it.
I literally that's literally what I was just about to say. I was about to say, I'm going to text Joe and see what his, like, if you're taking time off.
I got some days off.
Okay, so do I. So we do a little guerrilla live show. We'll pick a movie and throw it up there for Patreon. So just keep your eyes peeled if you're on Patreon. I'll try to give you as much notice as possible, but that's probably not that much, but I try.
I said give them the least amount of notice as possible. Speaking, dude, can I just share this? It's kind of related, but it's not at all. But I entered this contest that I heard on the radio, and I never listened to the radio. And it's like Texas number for an exclusive prize. And it's like, we'll get back to you if you're entered. They messaged me like an hour ago, and it's like, you are in the running. All you have to do is show up to this concert right now. It's like late notice concert. This is like fucking 9 o'clock. I'm like, of course I'm not doing that. Are you kidding me? Like, how could anybody plan that? And it's like at the other end of the state too.
What did you win?
It was, you didn't win it yet. You're like, it's like the finalist, and you have to show that message at the door, and then you get into a raffle if you show up at that door. So I'm assuming only like five people are going to be there. So the chances of winning are high. But it was an all paid flight to go to a Red Hot Chili Peppers show in like California.
Can you imagine that? Like, I wouldn't mind going to California, but you know that package is only like one night, and then you have to fly back.
You fly back the next morning, yeah.
Six fucking hours, lose 6 hours. Fucking nuts. That sounds terrible. That would have been cool though.
So, anyway, here I am. So
we're gonna do a Gorilla Live show in December, maybe. So we'll do that. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was All Documented, All True. A new episode will be up this week. Yeah, this week. And what did we do?
You want to announce it now? Or?
Yeah.
Well, we only keep a secret from you. Yeah. So yeah.
Hey, tune in.
I was like, we can't say it now. Oh, yeah, you already know. Yeah, it's the fucking Mothman.
Yeah, Mothman.
That was like the reason Mike and I like wanted to do this, just talk about the Mothman, because it's all
Mothman is anyway. Fucking cool. Mothman is cool as fuck. That was a good episode. I was a little low energy, but I think it was a good episode. I had a lot of fun.
I had fun, man.
Oh wait. Oh fuck. I had a Mothman joke that I thought of. After. Wait, we were joking about the Men in Black. Okay, so we... Okay, I figured out, I remember what the joke was. And I was so... Dude, I actually, like, punched my steering wheel the next morning because I thought about this joke, and I was so mad that I did not fucking talk about it on the air. So I'm going to just try to paraphrase it for everyone that hasn't even fucking heard it yet. We joked about... First joke we joked about was how big Mothman's fucking... Schlong was. He was fucking hung. We joked about that a bit. You'll have to tune into the episode to figure out why. Probably no reason whatsoever. Just said it. And then we also joked about the Men in Black, which I think is like one of the funniest bits we've ever done, which is the Men in Black getting calls at midnight about the Mothman getting loose and shit. And like how fucking irritated they must be, because it's just like a fucking job to them, right? Like, it's not the Men in Black of the movie where it's like I'm some type of superhero. It's like a fucking job. It's like,
yeah, like a file paperwork fucking, and shit.
I gotta go fucking do this shit. I gotta go fucking catch fucking Mothman in fucking Virginia. What the fuck? Anyway, the joke I thought of in the morning was like, because we went into like a bunch of different scenarios with that. The joke I thought of in the morning was like the fucking Men in Black getting the call. He's fucking irritated. And he's like, wait, which Mothman is it? And it's like, oh, the one with the fucking giant fucking cock. Like, they had two locked up, but only the one with the giant fucking, like, that mutated version is, like, on the loose. And he's like, Jesus fucking Christ. What a fucking nightmare. Not the one with the fucking giant fucking hanging wang out there.
That would be worst case scenario, right? If like you had a bunch of mutations, but the
right.
the most identifiable one
is a huge dick. And that's the one you're gonna have to wrestle to the ground. God damn it. All right. Anyway, I thought about that joke. I was so fucking mad the next day.
Tune in. ADAT.
Tune in. ADAT. Patreon only this week. Yes, Patreon only this week. So, Mothman. And hope everyone liked. I put out the Montauk Project, the first half of the Montauk Project last week. I don't know if I'll put out the second half for next month or what, but we'll see. Or just tune in, finish it up. I would probably, dude, where we cut it off is like the most insane point in the story. I'm not even saying this to promote our Patreon. I would fucking sign up like instantly. Cause it's like right at the jerk off sessions. And like, if you guys listen to the bonus, it's like right at the fucking jerk off teleportation. I'd be like, dude, what? I need to fucking see this through. How do you leave it here? But I'll try and get the second half eventually up on the main feed, but we'll see. Anyway.
And, a thank you to everyone who shared their Spotify Wrapped with us on there. I was talking to Sean about it before we even hit record. It's surreal seeing our names like above or right behind some really like well-known celebrities, and you know, the love that we get from you guys just means a lot. And fucking shout out to Austria. Dude, we talk about all the time how like most of our listeners just choose not to follow us.
Yes.
I haven't heard of a single motherfucker from Austria ever.
Wait, no, there's, I think there's one. I think it's that gal. She speaks German. She was in our Discord for a while.
That's Luxembourg.
Oh, that's right.
Sounds similar, so I understand.
My ears just misheard that one. Common mistake.
Yeah, shout out Austria. And if you don't know, the reason why I'm shouting out Austria is it gives you a breakdown of the countries that listen to you most. Correct. Austria was number fucking one. That's like the most unbelievable thing ever. Number one. United States is number two. UK is number three. Fucking Austria was number one.
Denmark was in there. It was cool, man. It was fucking cool. And we're in like the top 25% podcasts. Like, that's dumb.
You know?
Stop listening to us.
Dude, what? No, don't do that.
What are you doing? No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. It was crazy. It was crazy to see. That shit's mind-boggling.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you
all. Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all. So, and that's that. So, Shredder. 2001 or 2003. No one's sure.
Dude, A Telltale Sign is going to be a fun movie. You don't even know what fucking year it was released.
Starring Steve from Full House, as we mentioned. I forgot he did Aladdin's voice.
He's the voice of Aladdin, yeah.
That's so weird.
Dude, at that 90s con, he had a fucking line. Like, people flocking to him.
Well, those girls were just like...
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. Like, Steve from Full House and Aladdin. Like, that's crazy. Those are two heavy hitters.
And, like, I think Aladdin's one of those animated bohunks, you know? Like, that.
He's good looking. He's good looking.
People had, like, a sexual awakening, too. Like, listen, hey, we've all seen a cartoon character that just kind of worked for us. And I feel like Aladdin was one of Count Duckula, Erg from fucking Real Monsters or whatever the fuck his name was.
Wait, Crumb. The one that held the two eyes on. Yeah.
What those hands do, Crumb. Or what was the fucking candy cane? She was something.
Man, I don't remember her name. Ickis was the other one.
Oh, that's such a good one. Ickis was the little red one. He was not anything sexual. Oblina was the...
Okay, yeah.
Yo. Hey, I'm just going to say... I'm just going to, like, I know I shouldn't do visual gags or whatever, but, like, you know, we got a fucking video show now. I'm just going to throw up a quick picture of Oblina here because, hey, girl... Hey girl, what are you up to?
Those lips, man.
Yo, that is so horrifying. There's not a chance you would ever do that. Anyway, we're talking about Steve
Scott. Old Scott. Oh wait, before we go into the rest of the cast, did you look up the tagline?
I did, and I was so mad I didn't write it down. So tell me what it is again.
The tagline is, I see I see dead people.
Oh. I didn't even pick that up. Like, I read it, and I was like, this is the dumbest thing. I read it as, like, I see dead people. And yeah, I was like,
right.
No, like, it's I read dumb. It as, like, frozen dead people.
No, I got it. But
I was like, that sucks. Like, why is that the tagline? That's solid. That's solid.
Double entendre.
I like that this was released in Japan under the name Jason Z.
Jason Z.
Wait, I mean, but what year did Jason X come out?
Around the same time. Was it 2000? No, 2002. Came out this year, or it had its 20th anniversary this year.
Bro, did Oh, it probably came out later then. It came out 2001.
Okay, 2001.
But that's so weird, right? Like, is that not weird to you? Like, did they come up with Jason Z before Jason X?
No. I mean, of course not.
Wait, it was released in Japan. Oh, yeah, because it was released. This is so fucking bizarre. So, yeah, I think it was released in theaters in 2003 in Japan for some reason under the name Jason Z.
It had a theatrical release in the States, but only in the Pacific Northwest for some reason.
Yeah, because they rented out a theater and played it for their family, Joe. What are you saying? For some reason. Fair it's enough. Where the guy Fair fucking enough. Lived. He hosted it at his fucking house.
Dude, Jason Z. There is not a single connection to Jason in here, but there is some scenes that are very Jason. Influenced by yeah. Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and it's more of the trick or treat of the Slopes, really. which they really only hone in on like in the last like 20 minutes when they're like, it's the rules, and you're like, oh, okay.
dude, no, the rules are throughout the whole thing. One of the best scenes is the rules.
Okay, let's okay. I guess you're right, and this might
be a better ski lift scene. That's like one of the greatest scenes in horror.
The scarf?
Right before that involves the rules. Let's get into it because I want to talk about
all right,
the
scenes. All right. That's it though for the cast, really. There's one other girl who plays the bartender in this, and she is a working actress. She's been on Cobra Kai recently, but I was all excited because it was like known for it and had all these shows, and I was like, oh fuck, like that's so sick. And then I realized she was only in like one or two episodes each. So,
well, Kimberly, she was in Guiding Light and One Tree Hill and Saved by the Bell, The New Class. But I actually wanted to bring up a movie that she's in that's called What Doesn't Kill You, with Ethan Hawke and Mark Ruffalo. And I wanted you to pull up the cover because it's the most uncanny valley shit I've ever seen. I don't know if it was just the picture I was looking at, but the cover is Ethan Hawke and Mark Ruffalo. And the entire time I'm like, this is very weird because it looks like something that should be them, but it doesn't look like it's them.
Oh my God. Wait,
right?
Which one? So there's two. They're both pretty bad, but this Mark Ruffalo one is like, this is actually insane. Like, can I get a giant picture of this up? This is fucking crazy.
For those at home, Google that and look it up.
Yeah, just Google it. Just Google it. What doesn't kill you? Yeah, it's fucking weird. Oh, that's so bizarre. I hate when they do that shit to covers. Like, just...
It's like they airbrushed it, but like, fucked up their faces.
yeah, they did for sure. Dude, Mark Ruffalo's face is like... Like, they redid his whole cheek, so he looks...
Dude, fucking, yeah, his jawline's, like, extended.
Fucking bizarre shit. that's fucking weird. Fucking Holly weird, man, I tell you.
And one last fun fact about the cast. The guy who plays Kirk, Peter Riggs, he's now a member of the Idaho Senate in the 3rd District. So, there you go. He was elected currently? In 2020. Yeah, currently.
Ooh, what the fuck are we doing? What the fuck? It's a country. What the fuck are we doing? Fucking psychotic. Well, God bless. This was filmed in Idaho too. Okay, so let's get into the movie. We open with an intense snowboard chase to the point where you think it might be just one of those like false starts because it's playing like chase music and you're like, oh fuck. But then you're like, it's the beginning of the movie. It's just going to be like, they're going to take off their helmets and be like, hey, honey, just chasing right. you.
Yeah.
It's not. They slit a guy's throat, right? With like trap wire, right?
Yeah, trap wire. Which we'll find out later in the movie. It never gets taken down, even though people are actively going down that hill.
Most dangerous fucking ski slopes of all time. Fucking insane. Yeah, that comes back after days of them snowboarding. on that mountain.
Yeah, this guy's name is Chad, and it's important to note that because they mentioned Chad for the entire rest of the movie.
That's fucking Chad.
Yeah, that's Chad, dude. That's like, they talk about him the entire time. I actually had to look that up because I was like, who the fuck is Chad? Like, am I supposed to know that?
That is so fucking funny. And you know what's even funnier is at the end of the movie, there is a callback to Chad from Steve from Full House where he is like, I guess that's Chad. Because, like, no one fuck knows who Chad is. Only one character knows who Chad is. And the audience does not either. So it's, like, really fucking bizarre. No one knows who the fuck Chad is.
Dude, he is the most talked about character in the entire movie.
Absolutely. Dude, anytime, like, there's a knock, they're like, is that Chad?
There's two guys. He's like, you know what's the only thing preventing you from being the number one snowboarder? And the guy's like, fucking Chad. He's using his full government name, including his last name, and just going on and on about him.
It's so nuts. For a guy we don't know anything about.
A guy who's dead. A guy who we watched die in the first 30 seconds.
Well, that's followed up by a very intense shower scene where we meet Steve. Who is his name in the show's movies? Cole. I will start calling him Cole moving forward.
Yes. Can I interrupt 1 second? Right before the shower scene, you get your first rules of the ski resort. The killer points to the rules. So,
well, he like picks up the pamphlet, right?
Well, you're right.
But what rule did Chad break? Just being a bad boy. Just being Chad. Chad, bad boy. Bad boy. Chad boy. So we get this shower scene. We meet Cole, played by Steve from Full House, and Kimberly. They are taking a romantic getaway to the mountains.
Least romantic getaway of all time.
So my main issue with this fucking movie is just none of it fucking makes it. None of it adds up. Like, there's not even a point where, like, you could even be like, did the person writing the first page even like write the second, third, fourth down the line pages? Because the consistency is it's not there. So Cole and Kimberly are going on a romantic getaway. And then Kimberly's like, oh, by the way, I invited some friends. There's like 15 fucking people in the fucking car. And Cole is pissed, and rightfully fucking so, right? And then we start seeing Kimberly kind of exposing that she does not like Cole.
Right.
I think she actually likes Chad.
That'd be correct.
Also, I think she's also willing to fuck anyone that's at the house. So I don't know what
except for her boyfriend.
Except for Cole. And by the way, like, there are moments in this movie where, like, she is openly being like, is that Chad? And, like, Cole is like right there, or she'll be like, oh, Kristoff, who we'll introduce here in a minute. And later down, we'll save it. But like, Cole is like somehow unaware of this. And it's like the silliest thing.
Cole's a fucking idiot. Like, there's a point where Kristoff offers ski lessons, and Cole's like, I'll give you ski lessons, to his own girlfriend. She's like, I don't want your fucking piece of shit ski lessons.
That's what I'm saying. Also, Kimberly delivers one of the best lines maybe in a movie history, like, given the circumstances. Like, she doesn't, like, the delivery's not great. I don't care about that. It's just like what it is and where it is like the funniest thing I've ever seen.
There are so many lines in this movie that I think are fucking amazing.
We meet Kirk Armstrong, get his full fucking name for some reason. What, you get almost everyone's name except the guy that's filming with the video camera, who is relentlessly talking the entire fucking movie, and just Skyler. Joe, I didn't hear that name fucking once in the fucking
movie. Come on, Skyler, are you kidding me?
Actually, wait, no, now I remember it. On the ski lift, he gives his name. I think that's the first time, though. It's like halfway through the fucking movie. trust me. We meet Kirk Armstrong. He's a great snowboarder, but not better than Chad. And then we meet Pike, who is also a snowboarder.
Pike is Kimberly's cousin.
Is that what it is? Oh, yes. Wait. Yeah. Now, what's the other girl's name then?
Robin.
The fact that you know all this shit is
insane. Dude, I like this movie, man.
Okay. Well, you know, they're just here to shred. We're just here to shred. And Skyler is just filming everything, and it's just like, it's fucking exhausting. He's exactly. And but, dude, the fucking electronic. Wait, actually, the music in this is crazy. You get your early 2000s fucking electronic music at the beginning, just like and you're like, oh fuck, we're gonna do this, and then not, and then like classical horror score just like playing, and the volume on the fucking soundtrack is so loud. It is like the loudest volume I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's cranked up. You get pop punk, you get a little I don't want to call it ska. It's like it's ska wave one. It's like ska wave one. It's like very Jamaican influenced. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then you got Robin, of course. And then some of the great jokes in the car are they spill coffee, right? They spill coffee on someone, Robin maybe. And fucking Skyler's big joke is world's sloppiest videos, to which Cole responds, when good coffee goes bad.
It's funny.
I get it. The coffee's bad.
To the listeners, I apologize. I just realized every sip I've been taking, I've been turning like my Adam's apple directly on top of the mic and then swallowing. So I won't do that going forward.
Oh, yeah. Well, they stop because they spilled the coffee and they need to go clean themselves up. Where we also learned, like, one of the, I think it's Kimberly's, like, that is a French sweater, not something from downtown. Kimberly, give me a fucking break. What the fuck are you saying? But they go to the bathroom and they film themselves for these guys. Like, they steal Skyler's camera because Skyler's like, can I get some nude shots? And they're like, fat fucking chance, loser. And then steal the camera. And then immediately go in the bathroom and are like, take new shots.
Robin says she's going to film herself pissing so that he can sell it on the internet, which ahead of her time, I might say.
Way ahead of her time. Only fans for Robin, baby. After that, we learn that Cole's girlfriend actually wants to fuck Chad. And then they leave the bath because she's in the bathroom being like, I'm going to fuck Chad. And then they leave the bathroom where they meet Kristoff. And then she's basically like, I'm going to fuck Kristoff.
Well, Robin's really got the hots for Kristoff.
She does. And
she has a great line because he says, you're getting all wet. And she goes, you can tell. I love that. It's not dude, because it's like raining. I think she's getting
I fucking get it. He also, I thought he was supposed to be like Norwegian, but it turns out he's pretending to be French, which is alarming because he's doing the worst French accent. And I know they mentioned, they're like, your French accent's terrible later on in the movie. That is not, he's not intentionally doing a bad French accent. He's trying to be French. And he also says shit like, in my country, men and women share toilets. What? I mean, yeah, we do too, you fucking dumb shit.
Like, it was a universal thing I've ever heard.
But it's still a fucking women's bathroom. Like, so they get back in the car, they start driving, and we are introduced to a snowplow character, Mr. Plow, who has a bumper sticker that says, have you ever seen a town so against snowboarders? It's so wild.
No, they fucking hate it.
But we drive past
for a good cause. For
well, sort of. I mean, it's not in general snowboarders.
Yeah, but it's a town population of like six, and three snowboarders killed one of them, and it was a young person. So
yes, that's true. We drive past this plow and it has a bumper sticker. It says death to all snowboarders, which is just fucking crazy. Just like nuts. It's like crazy. And of course that's like the car that they decide to fucking harass. The only local they decide to harass. And they're like hanging out the window being like, you're a fucking idiot.
Could that be our next sticker drop? Just death to all snowboarders.
I'll write it down right now. Actually. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would put that on my car.
Death to all snowboarders. I will re. I'll re.
Also,
I'll,
don't don't put that on your car. You're going to fucking brick through your window.
Absolutely. It's 2022. Well, you can put it on there. It's fine. Put the horror show on it. People will get it. They will not get it. Death to all on a bumper sticker. Again, like I just said, is fucking psychotic. Well, they get to their destination, I guess. It's a gate. It's locked. And they're like, local birders only, bro. They all go in, except Cole, who is trying to unlock a fence.
Which they all got around. They all got around it.
For hours, by the way. For fucking hours. Because they snowboard all fucking day.
Yeah, right, right. They get around it. And Cole is trying to open it for hours because he's using a fucking flare. Dude, he's holding the flame of a flare to steal chains.
I think he hits it with like his snowboard too. It's like, Cole, what the fuck are you fucking doing? And Kimberly's watching this, and you know what? Quite frankly, Kimberly's fucking right. This guy, you'd get the ick so bad from fucking watching your fucking man try to fucking take off a chain with a flare. You'd be like, oh, I fucked up so fucking bad. This guy sucks. Anyway, here's a weird thing, though. The foreign guy, Christoph, he has visions.
He does.
He's snowboarding. He has visions of, we don't know.
No. But we do.
It causes him to crash. It causes him to crash.
Also, I don't think we said Kimberly's parents bought the place.
Okay, so we haven't gotten to that point yet, but that part makes no fucking sense, well, Joe.
She says it right when they're passing that shredder.
Okay.
Because they're like, why are we going here?
Okay. She says it again later, too. Here's my fucking problem. We're going to meet another character later on who's like, my parents own this. And it's not Kimberly. Did you pick that up or no?
I don't remember another character saying
it. Joe, it's fucking Christoph, the foreign guy. When he exposes himself and Kimberly's like, fast forward, guys, Christoph's not a fucking foreign guy. He's a fucking idiot. And Kimberly exposes him by just being like, you're not from France. And he's like, oh, wee wee. And then she's like, no. And he's like, okay, you got me. And he gives up. And she's like, so what are you doing here? Like, why are you here if you're not from France? And he's like, my parents bought the place.
Oh, I didn't pick up on him saying that because I know that he said that he used to live there. Like, his parents used to own a place there and he was friends with the other guys that did the dirty deed. And now they're all being targeted because he was like, I come back here every year.
Oh, maybe I misheard it. Anyway, well, that clears that up. Hey, our killer shows back up too. He doesn't do anything, but we see him stalking his prey on the mountain. And Cole gets through, I guess. The car somehow comes through. We don't even get the payoff of seeing how the fuck he finally gets the gate unlocked. He just fucking shows up. They don't even care that much. So the mountain chalet that we were going to, this romantic place that Kimberly sold us all on, is actually an abandoned piece of shit out in the fucking woods, which they had to break into instead of even entering. So I don't know how she owns it.
Yeah, no, I mean, she doesn't, because the entire time she's like, my dad hasn't actually bought it yet. And then everyone in that town is like, you don't own shit yet, because it hasn't gone through. So,
Joe, the fact that you know all these details on this movie is fucking nuts to me, because I don't think this shit is real. And, like, I mean, it makes a lot more sense, but I don't think, because, like, there are a lot of people, like, constantly that are like, you don't own dick, and like you fucking storm away, and you're like,
no, she has a conversation. She's like, well, it hasn't like gone through, like they haven't signed the paperwork yet. And that's why like the sheriff and the bartender are like, you don't shit.
Oh, man. And then they find some stuff on the porch. They don't know who the fuck that is. And they're not really all that concerned about it either. Well, they're not really doing a whole lot. They're shredding. They're fucking doing their thing.
They are shredding.
They're not really doing their thing. The guy's filming shit and just screaming dumb stuff.
Dude, the way those two snowboarders talk and say shred, and like they're basically, we talked about Pauly Shore last week. They're basically like modern day Pauly Shores, right? Yeah. Just saying skater lingo like to the extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great line about that where somebody calls them snowboarders and he's like, no. And this leads us all to our first issue in the movie, which is they need beer. So they go and get beer, and there's more red herrings with this Norwegian fellow. They're really planting the seeds of this guy, Kristoff, maybe being the killer.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know him, and they picked him up, and they brought him on vacation. Nuts. So,
right.
Like bad idea. Yeah.
the hardest smash cut I've ever seen to a bar where the smash cuts on the final chase scene is unreal. Unfucking real.
Because it's only cutting to like 3 feet before 3 feet farther than where they were.
What happened? Why is that a thing? That was so nuts. Like that was so weird. Cut to the bar where you can also just buy beer and leave. Yeah, and the you know, we meet the bartender and her dad, who are the locals, and they are not too kind, although the bartender is sweet, and young Skyler falls for her. Takes but he's also fallen for every fucking woman that he's seen in this fucking movie.
So. He's also a virgin, so that's why.
Lucky him. And, I mean, not lucky. I don't know why I said that. It's being a, no. First time you have sex is the fucking weirdest shit in the world. And it's weird also because he's a virgin, because he goes back to the car and he's like, that bartender is spank worthy. Okay, dude, but fucking, take it fucking easy. Which, by the way, Cole says. Cole's like, dude, get the fuck out of my car.
He does say that.
Which, they get in the car. And cue the insane snowplow guy who is fucking inches away from their fucking car now, just running the blades, which rightfully fucking so. Like, I'll be honest, like, a lot of these people in this kind of are in the right here. Like, this snowplow guy was doing nothing, and they just fucking drove by him screaming at him. I would do the same fucking thing.
Yeah, I would,
like,
too.
Pull up right next to him, fucking run it. Just be like, get the fuck out of here.
I would too, and I do want to say the bartender's dad, who works behind, who's also a bartender. He is basically the Friday the 13th doomed guy, because at he's just like, you're all fucked. He's like, if you stay here, like, you're doomed. Nothing good is gonna happen.
Which they don't even like fucking consider until a cop shows up in the next scene, and then they're like, wait, that sounds a little spooky. It's like, yeah, some guy literally just screamed at you telling you that.
And one of the characters like knows the entire backstory, because they're like, was it really this scary? And she's like, well, and then tells like all the terrible things that happened. They're like,
yeah. Okay. And also Kristoff is like, yeah, it's all true. And then he adds like the fucking ghostly details to it. And you're like, wait, what the fuck? Back at the house. Back at the house, we have a strip poker game going on, which turns into not strip poker, but just women trying to remove their clothes without taking off the top layer of their clothes. So Robin takes off her bra without taking off her shirt, which, you know, gets everyone all wound up. And then fucking Kimberly stands up, and we get to watch in real time 5 minutes of her undoing her underwear with her pants on and pulling them out.
That's skills. That's hard.
First of all, it's impossible unless there's just a tie on it. And if there's just a tie on it, I feel like it should take you like relatively quick amount of time. If you just pull it, if it's just a ribbon you pull and fucking falls off, it should take 3 seconds.
if it's regular underwear, it's actually impossible unless she's fucking using scissors in her pants. Dude, imagine that. It's like a fucking Naked Gun bit. Like, tailoring her underwear underneath her pants. Dude, she's wearing pants. You just see her hands. I thought she was actually, like, gonna, like, masturbate on screen. And I was like, this is so fucking weird. But she's just taking off her underwear with the pants up. While this is going on, the cop shows up. The local cop. And they're able to get him out, but he does reveal the scary story of the place. And the best part is, while they're getting him out, literally his last words, as they are physically pushing him out the door and closing the door, he's like, oh, we never caught the killer, bye!
And he only leaves because they're bribing him with tits and ass, and then somebody hands him a wad of cash, too.
Yeah, it seems like a lot to, like, I feel like this guy would have just been happy with, like...
Dude, all you had to do was listen to one of his fucking boring ass stories for 5 minutes, and they would have been out of his way.
They fucking went way overboard. This is like the
guy that handed him cash. Like, he was already sold. The girls were just rubbing their tits all over him, and that cop was like, "All right." And the guy hands him, dude, a classic wiffle ball move, right? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly who you're fucking talking about. Why would you do that?
Gotta pay $400 to a valet.
Hey, guess what? They would do it anyway. You fucking moron. People get the same service for $50. I remember one time he did that. We got to come up with a different name for him. Bimmy's Taken. Bimmy Light. Anyway, he paid this valet like an insane amount of money, and he was like lecturing us about how that's how you get the fucking car faster, you fucking poor piece of shit. Hey, guess what? We waited so fucking long for the car, dude. We waited so fucking long for the car. I fucking gave him so much fucking shit, and he was like, it must be a bad guy. I don't know why the fuck this is happening. I know why, because they don't give a fuck, and they don't remember you. They're not like... Whoa! What a gentleman! Get that guy's name. I'll remember his face forever. Like, what a fucking asshole! Like, idiot.
Oh, that's funny.
Imagine how dumb you have to be. Fucking think that they're... Wow! What a guy!
Print out pictures of them so everybody knows.
They split it among eight of them. They're probably like cool. Like. $50. I mean, that's still cool, but like they probably have people come out and give them like fucking $5,000. You know what I mean? Like, when they win big, fucking 100 fucking bucks, 80 asshole. Hey, so we never caught the killer. We get the killer story. There's a killer on the loose. Did they reveal here the full story with the little girl yet? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause the cop leaves and one of the guys is like, is this really as spooky as it sounds? And the girl and Kristoff both confirm that there's a little girl who was skiing and then a bunch of snowboarders were like circling her and scaring her. And she goes off the course and crashes, to which Skylar goes, Bonoed skied a tree.
Which, like,
Sonny
Bono. Do you remember, like, when that happened, he was like the butt of fucking jokes for years. And that's
fucking died. A man died. Crazy. Tragic accident.
That's fucking psychotic. That's so nuts. That's so nuts, dude. Like, I don't remember anyone really being like, I just remember shots taken at that guy forever for dying, hitting a fucking tree, man. That's fucking brutal. Yeah, so fucking crazy. It's
Skylar saying that about a young girl who was killed by snowboarders.
Who they show, and she appears to be like 10, 11, maybe, like 10 to 12 years old. Like, it's fucking sad. Yeah, and three snowboarders had pushed her into a tree and killed her.
Yes. I don't even think they pushed her. They just, like, circled around her and
scared. Yeah. I just meant, like, pushed to...
veer off, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they kind of, like, yeah, caused her to do it. And fucking Kimberly adds, when the cops tried to find him, they were all gone. Or so we think.
Yeah.
Also, the mountain is shut down because the family of the little girl got the house, got the fucking mountain. They own the mountain, and now Kimberly's buying it, right? Yes. That's what it is? Okay. Okay. Anyway, they think they see something outside, and Kimberly's like, it must be fucking Chad. So everyone goes out to find this Chad fellow, yeah. Which, like, whatever.
And they're hearing, like, haunted voices in the house, too.
Yes. Yeah, that is the weirder part, of the, I guess, of the movie, is, like, the girl crying shit. Cole and Pike start forming a little bit of a bond here, which is bizarre, because Cole's introduces himself to Pike by being like, I mean, it's an insane exchange, but ultimately ending with Cole being like, oh, I thought you were fucking gay. And she's like, why? And he's like, because Pike rhymes with dyke. And she's like, fucking kidding me right now? Wait. This will become the love story of the fucking movie somehow.
It will. And Kimberly, very early on, mentions, she's like, I think she might be gay, talking about her cousin. And then that's why he's bringing it up now. But yes, what Sean just said is the reasoning he gives when she's like, why would you think that? And then it's only important to bring up this exchange because inexplicably, after the rest of the events that we watch, that's how he fucking ends the movie.
Dude, it's fucking insane.
The conversation he circles back to. Like, what? And then the credits roll.
Hey, back to that one thing we were talking about before all the tragedy. Oh, you mean like the story of my life? No. Me assuming you're gay. Is that still true or no? And she's like, it was fucking never true. What are we talking about? Fucking the craziest exchange. We do finally get a little sex scene here, though. They teased nudity in this, and you didn't get a lot, man. It was a little bit of a bummer, I'm going to be honest with you. Because
you see something from Robin right here, though.
That's it, though. And these women are gorgeous. Like, they are fucking... I thought they were all very beautiful women.
Yeah. You get to see some of Kim, don't you?
No.
Do you see her butt, Kim, or is that Robin?
Kim comes out of the fucking shower with a towel and a robe on. You kidding me? I was so fucking mad. The towel's under the fucking robe, like, covering her all the way. What are we doing? Anyway, Christoph and
Robin
have sex. And it's weird because Kimberly walks in and is like, and like walks away. And then the next day is acting as if she's the one that fucked Christoph and like gets him a cup of coffee and is like, hi, Christoph. He's like, wee wee.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Oh, dude, that fucking line was nuts. I actually, when he said that, I was like, wait, is he supposed to be fucking French? I thought he was like Norwegian the whole time. Also, there's a snowman outside now.
Well, while Robin and Christoph are having sex, we see the sheriff look up and he goes, what are you doing here? And then he gets got.
How did I not bring that up? That sucks.
I mean, it's a very quick scene. That's literally what he says, and he gets...
he does. He gets got. I forgot about
killed.
That.
Yeah.
So the cop dies, and now there's a snowman. I don't want to tell you what's in the snowman. You'll never guess now.
A nice ice homage.
Dude, if I were fucking... Dude, get us the rights to Shredder. We're going to remake it. It'll be a lot better. Steve will still be in it. Don't worry. We're going to recast Steve. He'll be like the dad. He'll be Bud.
Nobody owns the rights to Shredder.
Somebody does. I'm going to get him. And then we're going to really pay homage. We're going to do a Shredder remake with a little iced homage in it. But like legit. Like, out of the snowman. Is that our Gorilla Live show?
Iced?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
That's
with
fun,
it.
Dude. That's a fun fucking movie to watch.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, you're just waiting for the end, though. Like, for me, that's all I care about.
No, there's a lot of good scenes in it. There's a lot.
Is there?
Yeah.
I love
it. There's none as good as that, but there's a lot. I want to do that other movie Classic wants us to do, too, for winter.
Oh, can we, like, pre-watch it? What's the name of it, too, by the way? I've been meaning to...
I have to look it up.
Okay, all right. Get that over to me. Anyway, so there's a snowman outside. Christoph saying bonjour. Kimberly... is also like, hey, we should do something because Chad's been missing for like a fucking day. And everyone in this group is like, listen, if he's fucking dead, he's fucking dead. It's like the most insane thing in the world.
Skyler's like, man, if anyone can survive, that's him. That's what he does, man.
But then also is like, but if he's dead, then it's fine too. And it's like,
yeah, he's like, and if, you know, it is what it is.
Which is also funny because we'll cut to Skylar and that other snowboarder on the chairlift. And Skylar's just like, I wish we killed Chad a long time ago. And that's because then his friend, the snowboarder, would be the number one snowboarder in the world.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, we should have killed Chad a while ago. Like, that's fucking crazy. And then you see this.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's important to remember that they had that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And we will get that. Hey, we get some broken rules here. They're going up the chairlift. They see a sign that says, basically, you can get hurt or die from jumping off this chairlift. Don't jump off the chairlift, which is on every fucking chairlift you've ever seen in your fucking life because it's a fucking liability. And they're like, what? These are world-class snowboarders. And you're like, what, dude? And fucking the snowboarder jumps off. And Skylar loses his fucking mind over it. We get another pop punk snowboarding montage, and we see the evil skier lurking around, skiing around. The snowboarder is, you know, he gets to the bottom, he finds like this weird barn, so he just starts kind of fucking around in there, and he walks right into this evil skier. Who has an axe, but decides to kill him with an icicle.
Well, he gets the axe stuck in his snowboard.
Joe, the axe is not getting stuck in the fucking snowboard. I know, I've seen it too. I've seen it fucking too. That wouldn't fucking happen. It wouldn't fucking happen. In a fucking million years, that would not fucking happen. But the best part of that scene is he kills him with a fucking icicle, and then... it just, like, pans out. It's like a wide shot of... the murder scene, and the fucking skier is just smashing the fucking snowboard with the fucking axe because they just hate the fucking snowboarders so much.
and as Kirk is killed, a callback to that previous conversation about wishing Kurt was dead.
Yes,
he goes, "Whoa, dude, bad karma."
I think that might be that guy's like third line in the whole movie.
That man is a United States senator.
Oh, right. I forgot. Well, while that's going on, the rest of the snowboarders are still shredding. Cole and Pike are having a ball with each other, which is nuts. Cause if I were Pike, I would never I'd fucking punch this guy in the fucking face and never talk to him again. But they're just having a fucking riot out there on the slopes. And, Cole breaks his fucking snowboard and is like, let's just ride on one snowboard. And we actually have to like watch these two try and fucking snowboard on one board. Not a fucking thing. Two people on one snowboard. Get the fuck out of here. Meanwhile, Robin's on the chairlift. And guess who joins her? The fucking skier.
The killer.
The killer just sits right next to her.
She's like, hey, where'd you come from? I didn't know this was open.
And then just fucking talks his fucking ear off. Dude, and then pushes him off a chairlift.
This is the funniest scene in the entire movie. Because she is so oblivious. She's so stupid. And the killer is just pulling skiing the resort rules out of his pocket and shoving it in her face, pointing to him. She's like, "Wow, that doesn't apply to me. That applies to snowboarders." And then throws him off the ski lift.
Like, actually throws him off. Dude, and they're so high. It's actually the highest point of the chairlift that we see in the movie. Because, like, they're on the chairlift a bunch of times. That's the highest. It actually looked crazy when he fell off. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Dude, pulling out the rules of your pocket and shoving it in her face while trying to kill her. And then her throwing you off and being like, "I don't ski, I shred."
That's the funniest thing. That's so fucking funny. Anyway, Skylar finds the bartender on the slopes.
Yes.
How convenient. She goes, "You're one of those snowboarder guys, right?" He goes, "Yeah, but it's just boarder or shredder. Shredder's good." Okay. Fucking dick. Any woman that hear that would just immediately walk away. Okay, cool.
Especially when they dress like Skylar.
Dude, this conversation is fucking over. Stop filming me. Fucking idiot. So what is her name? The bartender. I know. I don't think I ever. I'll pull it up. I'll pull it up. Anyway.
Shelly?
Oh, that is not what I thought. Okay. Shelly, sorry. I was thinking of her name because I thought she was in the next scene, but it's not. Robin's the next scene. Robin. Yes,
still on the ski lift.
Still on the fucking. I think she's just taking it around. Like, she's just fucking riding the chair.
She almost just got killed and threw somebody what you should assume is to their death. And she's just like happy as can be, just riding on a fucking ski lift.
Yeah. And it says no loose articles of clothing. That's one of the rules posted. And guess what? She got a big old scarf on. It's very loose, too. And what do we see? We see it get caught in the fucking ski lift. Now, here's the thing. Did the fucking evil skier do that?
Did he put the scarf on it? No, I don't think so. I think it's just
like this is just like fate. Like, fucking, there's a supernatural element to it that the fucking mountain fucking kills you if you don't follow the ski rules. Anyway, so her scarf gets caught in the chair. It somehow gets tied around the chair. And then at the other end of the chairlift is like fucking
the tightest knot too.
The tide is not. And at the other end of the chairlift is Shelly and Skylar, who are just smashing the, like, go button. They're like, "This thing won't fucking move." And then they fucking hang Robin to her death from a chairlift by her scarf.
It's, dude, and not only do they hang her to the death, but they keep her hung. Forever. Like, it'll cut away and then cut back to her just swaying back and forth as the ski lift is continuing to go up the mountain. It's insane, it's
actually crazy, and I don't know how they filmed that. Like, it's actually kind of cool. Anyway, this means we have to sit through an agonizing fucking conversation between Skylar and fucking Shelly for 5 minutes. And then they get off the ski lift, and we meet her dad again, Bud, her dad. And again, who is like, "I warned you to stay away. I warned you to stay away." And then he's like, Skylar's like, "My friend bought this place." And that's when he's like, "Nobody bought nothing." Okay, cool. Hey, remember that snowman from before?
I do.
They finally notice it, even though it's outside their door. And they're like,
"Trip over it if you walk that side."
They're like, "Hey, dude, the guy put fucking sunglasses on it. Like,
it has human hands sticking out of it."
They're like, "Hey, what's this fucking snowman doing here?" They touch it, and then they learn that the cop is dead.
Dude, they don't touch it. Pike fucking drop kicks it. the cop's corpse goes flying out.
They don't have the gentlest touches, Bunch. Kristoff and Kimberly, meanwhile, finally get together in the hot tub. Kimberly calls him out. And she's like, you know, you stole your shit. How do you know this place? This is where I thought he revealed he owned the place, but he's not. And he's not French. But he does reveal that
But she dupes him by being like, I'm going to get naked and get into this hot tub. And he does, too. And then she steals his wallet. And she's just like, aha, I got you. Which you would think, like, oh, it was all just a ruse to prove that he was, you know, not who he says he is. Oh, no, yeah. She's still going to fuck the shit out of him. proved he's a liar.
I think she even is like, liars fucking turn me on. And then shoves his head underwater and starts fucking grinding her fucking crotch on his face.
Underwater cunnilingus is unbelievable. In a fucking hot tub.
Fucking nightmare. The chemicals in a hot tub, dude, fucking just burn your fucking eyeballs out.
And right before Kristoff is like telling, so I mean, we should just talk about it because we're at there. So he's from Fresno and he reveals that he's one of the snowboarders who was responsible for snowboarding around that little girl and caused her to crash and die.
Yeah. And he also says his friends are dead.
Yeah. So he says, he's like, all my friends are being killed and I think somebody is hunting them down on purpose. Like, they're eliminating everyone that was either a witness or involved with the death of that little girl. And then he even says a line that is just like, I am a killer. And then she's immediately like, okay. And then just wraps her legs around.
It's so wild. Meanwhile, what were you gonna say?
We find out through him that Shelly, the bartender, is the older sister of the girl that was killed.
Right.
And that Bud is her father.
Yes. Yes. Which, by the way, like, kind of ends the movie, right? Like, you kind of figure everything out right there. But anyway, Skyler now links up with Pike because everyone's kind of like going their separate ways. Like, it's all kind of crazy. And they go exploring to try and figure out what's going on because now they've found a dead person. And that they find the dead little girl.
This is
the weirdest fucking scene I've ever seen.
This is Friday the 13th worship, right? Like when Jason has his mother's head on a shrine.
Yes. Yeah, this is fucking crazy. Dude, I'm telling you, man, this movie, like, I know you like it, but like the bones of this movie are so fucking good. Like, it just needs something because this scene is fucking legitimately nuts.
Yeah. Dude, the kills aren't bad either.
But they just like gloss over it. They're like, well, I think that's the dead girl. And that's the end of the fucking scene. Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, get a zoom in or something. That's fucking wild. That's fucking wild. And then they also find their dead friend, whatever his name is.
Kirk.
Kirk. Kirk's, they find his dead body. And they find the skier.
Yes.
Killer skier. They battle with him. Skyler gets an axe to his fucking leg, which he somehow survives. And he only takes the axe to the leg because he had to go back and get his fucking camera. And thankfully, though, Pike beats the shit out of him with a fucking snowboard.
Rocks the killer with a snowboard.
Multiple times, just fucking slamming his fucking face. And they are able to escape. Cole finds Kimberly.
He's looking for Kimberly, so that's why he's not with them.
Right.
He's worried about Kimberly. Kimberly is banging Kristoff in the hot tub. And when Cole finds them, I love this part. When Cole finds them, her legs are like wrapped around his face and they are like going at it. And Kimberly goes, it's not what it looks like. Like, I've never seen anything look more like sex in my life.
Which is crazy. And it's also crazy because Cole's, again, like, I honestly thought to a point, because Cole's already like kind of into Pike a little bit. I was honestly like, oh, maybe Cole and Kimberly aren't together. Maybe Cole just has a thing for Kimberly, but they are like dating.
Yeah.
They are a couple. And Cole's like, dude, I've never seen somebody more surprised. He was like, what the fuck?
Sean, right before this scene, right before Pike and Skyler go off on their own. Pike says to Cole, she's like, why are you going to look for her? She's probably banging that other dude. And he's like, she wouldn't do that. And Pike's like, yes, she 100% would.
She told you that fucking yesterday. It's so
crazy. This is great because Cole is like, he's the killer, blah, blah. And she's like, and for some reason, Kimberly's like, no, he's not. I know that he lied about everything that he's done, and I have no reason to believe anything he's ever said, but he's not the killer.
And he was involved in the murder of a girl.
He was involved in the murder of the child. They leave Kristoff in the hot tub because they hear Skylar screaming, Skylar and Pike screaming. So Kimberly and Cole go to look, and then I'll talk more in detail about his demise, but they hear Kristoff screaming in the hot tub, and then Cole goes, okay, I guess it's not him.
He had the best lines. He had the best lines.
He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So they run back, and Kristoff is dead. He was killed by a shovel attack. Fucking one of those big old shovels just smashed in the face like four times.
Yes.
They try to run to the car. Car's damaged purposefully, obviously. And he has posed all the dead people as fucking snow angels.
Yes.
That's so crazy. And that's when Cole is like, and I guess that's fucking Chad. Because you don't even see Chad's face. You've never seen Chad's face. Probably because he's one of the other actors. So they didn't have to pay for another one.
No, he's his own actor. It's Elliot Olsen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. They go into the house. Kimberly finds that all of Kristoff's friends are dead in the basement also. Again, like kind of ritual. The guys that were involved in the snowboarding incident. And Pike has figured out that she can actually fix the car. I don't know why that didn't happen before, but she went back out and was like, oh, this is an easy fix. I can do this. Meanwhile, though, the skier's inside with Kimberly, who is alone. Well, that's not true. Skylar is upstairs nursing his fucking axe wound.
Yes.
Which is fair. Kimberly is downstairs. We watch the skier come in, go past Kimberly, and clomp up the stairs as if he's trying to make as much noise as possible. I have never heard somebody walk louder than this guy walking up the fucking stairs, and slower. And Kimberly's like, wait, do I hear footsteps? Fucking nuts. Of course you fucking do. It's insane. Skylar takes a great kill here with the ski pole through the camera lens into his eyeball.
He says, you can't kill me. I'm still a virgin, which is great that they reference that trope. And then he gets it right to the eye.
Yeah. And then it cuts back to Kimberly, who's just ripping nips and alcohol nips in the kitchen for some reason. The skier starts chasing Kimberly. She hides in the closet and is able, the skier is somehow able to break through this door slowly with a ski pole, which is just a ski pole, but suddenly he attaches somebody's head to the end of it and sticks it through the fucking hole. It's weird. What the fuck was that? And then it just cuts back and there's no more head on it. It was the fucking, dude, the hole's like 3 inches wide. Like,
it's so small. There's no way a human head would fit through. And he finds Kimberly because she starts screaming because Skylar's blood is dripping through the heating vents. And it's just dripping right on Kimberly's face.
Oh, my God. Also, while all of this is happening and Kimberly's screaming inside, Cole and Pike are just outside farting around with this car. Hey, maybe Cole doesn't hear it. Hey, no, Cole actually does hear it and keeps being like, hey, what's Kimberly doing in there? She's fucking screaming for a walkie.
It's like, hey, guys, what's going on in there?
It's like the most bizarre shit I've ever seen. Cole goes in to find Kimberly, which again, Pike's like, are you fucking serious, dude? Like, where the fuck are you going? And Kimberly has been killed. Kimberly is dying. Her dying fucking breath. This is it. She's gone. He said, Kimberly, Kimberly, with her dying fucking breath, her last fucking gasp of air, she says, I never loved you. That is the craziest thing I've seen in a movie. That was so fucking funny and nuts. I could not I was like, why is this happening? That dude, even if you were with your enemy, I think you'd probably just be like, you'd say I love you just to like feel something happy, right? Like before your dying breath, yeah. Dude.
Not leave the world on a negative note, right?
Or like, I'm sorry. Like you, I never loved you. That's so crazy. That's the craziest scene. Anyway, Pike gets got here because she's outside fixing the car. She sees the skier and is like, I'm going to hit the skier. The skier who is standing in front of the snowplow jumps out of the way. But I feel like it wasn't to be like lure her into just crashing into the snowplow. I think it was supposed to be like, you didn't see the snowplow behind me. And like jumps. Or does he jump in the way of the snowplow and that's how she hits it? I forget.
No, it's no. So fucking. She jumps out of the way. Kimberly just whiffs. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so weird. So nuts. She crashes though.
Knocks herself unconscious.
Knocks herself unconscious. And you see. You see the skier dragging her body, and when Cole comes out, he sees that she's been brained. He assumes, because it's a similar wound to what we saw with Kimberly, which is like a circular wound that a ski pole would go through.
Yeah.
If you would.
And Cole can't get out because there's a door open in front of the door that he's trying to open. So we watch it for like a good 3 minutes of him just like
even struggling. Him being like, okay, what the heck?
Hey, guys, okay. What's going on in here?
No one's answering the walkie-talkie. Cole, they're all fucking dead. What are you talking about? And Cole is now our lone survivor. He lures her out by improperly using the ski lift and screaming things like, I'm being irresponsible. And ultimately being like, I think he says, like, skiers suck. Like,
yeah, he's like, I'm breaking all the rules, just reading off. He's literally reciting the rules and just being like, I'm not doing this. Like,
look at my snowboard's loose, I'm littering. And the skier stops the chairlift. And he's like, dude, he's like, uh-oh.
Dude, I do have to say, we as the viewer know that the killer is like hell-bent on. You're punishing snowboarders and punishing people for not breaking the rules.
Yeah.
There is nothing that indicated Cole was aware of that at any point in time.
No. Because
the only person that really would have known that is Robin, because he was shoving the rules in her face, but she was killed immediately. So there's nobody that would have known that was what that killer was doing.
It's so fucking weird. It's so odd. So the killer stops the lift and Cole's like, I don't think you do that. Dude, you were literally calling for him. What are you doing? And then the skier shows up on a snowmobile and starts shooting at him with a fucking gun, which calls Cole to jump down. And it also allows him to hide behind a tree and tackle the gunman. Takes the gun from him, points it at him, and makes him reveal to us who the killer is, and it is none other than fucking Bud, the father of the dead girl.
Yes.
And the father of Shelly.
Yes. But Bud is like, he says here, as the gun is pointed to him, I didn't kill anyone. I'm just trying to scare the shit out of all of you.
Yes. And it's played off as like, you know, Cole doesn't believe it or whatever, or he's crazy, or as a viewer, you're definitely like, okay, there's another killer.
Right. I mean, Bud is playing it off well as he's genuinely insane because he's just cackling and screaming.
Yeah. Get off my mountain. Why can't you leave us alone? You goddamn snowboarders killed my wife and daughter. I don't know how they killed his wife.
Dude, the wife? I'm pretty sure he croaked. I'm sure there's something to indicate that, but yeah, that was news to me too. When he said that.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Bud reveals that also the gun's full of blanks because fucking Cole tries to shoot him. But Cole smashes him, gives him a fucking pistol whip in the head, and skis down, and we see the snowmobile start up again. And here comes old Bud flying down the mountain.
Great chasing, by the way.
This is where it's just randomly smash cutting to 3 seconds in the future. Dude,
and if you haven't seen this, that's not an exaggeration. It's like you can see the entire mountain.
It's one shot. It's
just cutting to like 2 feet in front of where they were, which I don't know why they wouldn't just show them continuing to run. But
it's very odd. It's very odd. It's so nuts. And then that fucking Bud gets his head cut off by the tripwire
that they didn't take down from the
beginning. Which presumably he put up. So
to no, kill. No, he didn't.
Who fuck did?
The killer.
Oh. Wait, oh, okay. That's right. I forgot. Dude, Bud no, didn't
Bud,
kill
Bud is not the killer. Bud, I believe, is just trying to scare kids.
Just try to spook them?
Yeah.
Although, doesn't Bud be like, well, that one that I did scare into killing himself for some... I think Bud reveals that he might have accidentally killed like one
person. Yeah, after he had his hand in one
person. Cole has seemingly defeated the killer. He's walking down the road in the rain, trying to get a ride. He approaches the bar where Bud worked. No one's there, obviously. Phones don't work. He goes outside this back door to find Mr. fucking Plow.
Mr. Plow. And not only that, but the back door is like a ditch with fucking 18 feet tall snowbanks. There's no way to get out of there.
So Mr. Plow is actually doing a service and trying to kill Cole. And we learn that the skier's inside, right? And we see that Mr. Plow is the guy that actually ran the plow is dead in the plow. And we see that the skier's in there. She takes off her mask and reveals it's been a ruse all along. And Shelly is the killer.
Yes. Revenge yells, for her younger sister.
She yells, "Snowboarders off my mountain." Weird.
Yes.
Which is also weird because she just killed a guy that had a fucking plow that said,
somebody who presumably was a family friend.
Guys could have gotten along really fucking well.
Community. Yeah.
Same interests, killing snowboarders. I feel like he could have gotten along on this if you just told him the fucking plan. But guess what?
Pike has risen.
Pike is fucking back. Because Shelly gets out and is for some reason in front of the snowplow while it's moving. I guess just to taunt Cole, perhaps. I don't know. I actually don't know why she's out. That's a fucking odd choice. Putting herself in harm's way. But Pike shows up and shoots her. She says, "Shred this, bitch." Shoots her with a shotgun. And we get the craziest little bit of CGI maybe ever. It's like Tim and Eric level, right? Like, it's like a still frame of a thing that's just like...
she shoots her and it like levitates her and turns her like at a 45 degree angle and then sucks her backwards.
So the CGI effect is of Shelly getting shot backwards, folding up, and then being sucked into the plow.
Yeah.
And then we see the plow shooting out blood.
Great. Great end.
Great. And Pike stops the snow plow, plants a big old wet one right on Cole's lips. And Cole, they walk away, just fucking barely surviving this fucking maniac killer. And Cole's thoughts are...
Going back to the lesbian conversation.
Hey, I'm a pretty liberal guy, so if you're, like, bisexual, that's fine with me.
Fucking unbelievable to call that back, of all things.
And Pike, I think, is just like, well, what are you going to do? Like, you old knucklehead? Cole, you old knucklehead? Instead of just shooting him. I would have fucking shot him.
Just shot him there and blamed it on the other one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Put him in the fucking shredder. Fucking nuts. That's the fucking end. What a movie.
I recommend it. It's fun. It's not good. It's fun.
I would not recommend it.
Come on.
I didn't have that much fun. I just didn't.
It's unbelievable. I spilled so much water on my fucking face.
All right. Next week, we have The Gingerbread Man.
The Ginger Dead Man?
Yes.
With the Buse?
The Buse. Again, I think we did the third or fourth one.
I think we did two.
Oh, we did two. We definitely did the second one, Passion of the Crust.
Passion of the Crust, yeah. All right.
We never did the first one, but if it invoked a sequel, well, it's not very highly rated if you... Dude, Ryan... No, this isn't The Swimmer, is it? Ryan Locke? No, it's not. Okay. Dude, I was like, what the fuck?
I think he'd be pretty young in
that. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just got the Buse. Busey is the voice of... Ginger Dead Man.
Correct. I think you see him. I mean, we'll find out. But I think you might see him in the beginning, kind of like
like a fucking Brad Dourif
in Child's Play. Yeah.
Oh my god! Fuck yes! Whoa! Yeah.
I could be making that up. I feel like that was the case though.
Yeah, maybe. Cool. That'll be fun. It's a little Christmas themed, right? A little Ginger Dead Man.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I think of Christmas.
You think of gingerbread things?
Yeah. I was being serious.
Why wouldn't this have taken place at Christmas, though? Like, when you wrote this, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's Charles Band, so.
It's listed under Christmas movies. I think this is Evil Never Tasted So Good. I'll be honest. I'm not really thrilled about this movie. I'm not really excited about it.
Come on. It's going to be fun. If you didn't like Shredder, I don't know.
But I did like Amityville Thanksgiving. So we got Gingerbread Man. We got Black Christmas. We got Dead End. And maybe
Black Christmas, the original?
Yes.
I think I forgot we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
We've never done that?
Never done it, Joe. Okay. Can you believe it? Can you believe the horror show has not covered Black Christmas 1974?
Did we do the other two pieces of shits?
Yeah. We did. No, we did one of them. I'm not going to do the other one. The fucking movie is like one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Okay. It's so fucking bad, dude. It's so fucking brutal. We did the remake, and I think that's it. And I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. We talked about the original because we saw it at CT Cult Classics, and we just kind of were like, wow, that movie's so fucking good. Yeah. That movie was great to see on the big screen, which it was. It was fucking great. It was phenomenal. I hadn't seen it in fucking years prior to that. So we're going to do Black Christmas. And that's going to drop December 20th, just in time for y'all to sit with your family around the fire and put on the horror show and hear us talk about which animated characters we'd like to fuck instead of the movie. So that's that. We got some good stuff. And then hopefully a secret live show at some point on it. So keep your eyes peeled out there. And maybe an audible with this movie that you're talking about, because I'm curious about it. I know you told me about it before, and I was excited, but I can't remember it lately, so I gotta figure that out. All right, that's that. Guys, if you want to support us, patreon.com/IHateHorror. can go to Instagram at IHateHorror and IHateHorror.com for all of our links and stuff there. Again, the new live show feed will be up soon. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. The store right now is down. We are going through some changes. And I'm not sure I'll bring it back up for a little bit. Just there's some inner workings going on with the horror show that we're going to see what happens. So I don't know if I'll bring that iteration of the store back. Sorry about it, but, we'll see. We'll see. But we'll obviously get an announcement. Reagan will post something if I get that back up for you guys.
The movie is called Evil Laugh from 1986. Wow. Yes.
1986 is just such a great year, though. I'm going to pull it up real quick. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boognish 1985.
And we're at I Hate Horror Show. I guess you can follow me on my personal. I saw Reagan posted, gave my name out there on the bio. It's at Robots Ate Me. Or you can follow my fucking dog because he's cooler at Brody Bikes. B-R-O-D-I-E. He's cool. I bought a fucking GoPro to film us biking. Dropped it immediately. First bike ride. It was fucking hilarious. Dude, Evil Laugh looks so good. Is it winter though? Joe, they're all fucking shirtless.
Hey, listen, he said it was winter.
They're on a tropical island. What are we doing? Classics? Maybe they're on like a winter vacation. That's crazy. Does that count? Do we even count that?
Look it up.
If it's in the winter, right? But they're like, oh, it's like, but we're going on vacation. Oh my God. Concept's crazy.
I'm reading the smallest fucking plot blurb on Wikipedia.
Dude, absolutely no information about this whatsoever. Dude, in his overview of horror films from the 1980s, Scott Ehrenstein, these guys that fucking write themselves into fucking Wikipedia pages are nuts. Scott Ehrenstein described the film as effortless tripe and that there is nothing, I repeat, nothing worthwhile or even remotely worthwhile or even remotely memorable about this waste of celluloid. First of all, that sentence is fucking awful. There's awful writing. So I want to see what the fuck this guy did. Scott Ehrenstein. Oh, The Gorehound's Guide to Splatter Films of the 1980s. Published in 2015. Sounds like a piece of shit.
Dude, I think it looks great.
Hey, dude, The Gorehound's Guide to Splatter Films of the 1980s. What are you fucking talking about? That's your fucking... I don't... Like, there's way fucking worse. I mean, not that I've seen it, but
I found some screenshots of this movie. What is it? I'm in.
Yeah, but is it winter or not?
It is most definitely not winter.
Well, that's cool. Well, maybe we just save it for the fucking spring because it's about a college.
Okay.
It's a group of students attacked by a mass killer while repairing a building over the weekend.
All right, so we'll put it on for the new year.
I'm gonna watch it. We'll see. I'm gonna watch it.
Maybe. Why are you doing that? Going blind now,
Joe? I watch everything we do for the
last. You watched Shredder before choosing Shredder.
No, 10 years, the fucking caption on this is, 10 years ago, something terrible happened in this house. This weekend, it's about to happen again. What the fuck does that mean? That might be my favorite poster blurb. Something happened. Guess what? It's going to happen again. What? Oh, not even some insight into it. All right. Anyway, that's it for the show. Thank you all so much. Thanks to Joe as usual. And that's it, guys. And next week, we have Ginger Dead Man. So, for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Check out ADAT.
Patreon. ADAT. Patreon. Patreon.com/IHateYouOr. A fucking zombie getting sliced and diced. The monster.